Morning. We're holding the Mishnah Shabbos Daf Pei Aleph Amud Aleph on top. Mishnah right at the top of the page. The Mishnah is continuing to discuss the various shiurim of what's considered chashuv enough for different items that if one carries it, it's considered a substantial amount, and the person is chayav for carrying on Shabbos. Etzem, when it comes to one carrying out a bone, kilasa b'tarvid, he's chayav on Shabbos. He's chayav a korban if he carried out enough, or he's chayav karis. Or a skeel even, with the Eid Masra, if he carried enough, Kli Lassas Tarvid. Enough to make a spoon, bone china. Rabbi Daimer, Kli Lassas Memenachaf. Enough to make a lock from it. So Machlaikis, Rabbanan, Tanakam, and Rabbuda, what the shear is. Enough to make a spoon, or enough to make a lock? And then we're again is going to ask the same question that we had the past couple of days, that we had at least twice yesterday, that is the shear of Rabbi Huda greater than the Chamim? Typically, we say the shear of the Rabbanan is greater. Now, reminder, whoever has a bigger shear is actually more lenient. The bigger the shear means, it takes more to be chayav on Shabbos. The smaller the shear is the person who's more machmer. The Gemara will address it right away. That, again, it seems like Rabbi Huda's giving, the Gemara assumes Rabbi Huda's, who's saying the shear to make a lak is bigger than a spoon, seems like it's a bigger shear. Okay, zchuchas, glass, what's the shear? Can they ligra by Reisha Karker, enough to scrape the head of the weaver's pick. Apparently the weaver had like a pick and he used to scrape it to get rid of any threads that were on it. So that's what this glass is used for. If you have a glass of that size, that's a chiv of carrying on Shabbos. Sorry, Evan, a pebble or a stone. K'tei Lizrik Baif, enough to throw out a bird to chase a bird away. Rabaz Makav Emer, K'tei Lizrik Bavehima. Has to be large enough to throw out an animal to chase the animal away, which is obviously a larger shear of a stone than the one to throw out a bird. Throwing an animal. Animal is only going to move by something larger than what would be needed for a bird. Okay, ask the Gemara. Lemer mid the shear of Rabbi Yehuda Nafish. You're telling me that the shear of bone for Rabbi Yehuda is a lak, as opposed to Rabbanan, which is a spoon, which again seems to be like Rabbi Yehuda's shear is a bit larger. How come the shear of Rabbanan Nafish? But we already said in this Machlekes, in this Perek, that the shear of Rabbanan is larger. Now we keep asking the same question really based on the same original memra. The memra was that by the rope, the Chum said, what's the shear of a rope that once chayav carrying a rope on Shabbos? Enough of a rope to tie to a basket, to be a handle on a basket. Rabbi Yehuda said, no, the shear of a rope is the shear to measure the child's foot. The person would take a piece of rope, measure the size, the length of the child's foot, bring it to the shoemaker to go make the custom shoes for the child, which is a much smaller shear, the child's foot, than a rope that's needed for a handle on a basket. So that was the source that the abundant shear is larger than Rabbi Yehuda. And because we had that one machlekes earlier in the parak, now every time we come up with a different shear, and Rabbi Yehuda seems to be larger than the Rabbanan, we're bothered by a question. Ask the Rishonim, they're very bothered. Since when do we say that because in one instance there's a machlekes and the Rabbanan are more makel than Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabbanan have a larger shear than Rabbi Yehuda for the chiyuv of carrying the gabe rope, does that mean the gabe every item when we estimate the shear on Shabbos, the Rabbanan have to be more makel than Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda has to be more machmer? Why does it have to be that they have the same, they say in the same line of who's more machmer, who's more makel throughout every machlekes within this parak? Azay Frick, the Rishonim, Bam Kasha, answers the Rishonim say a Gishmak Peshat, a beautiful Hesber. They explain that we know we had earlier in this discussion, Abaye right away on the first discussion of Shiurim, Abaye explains that when you have an item which has a shchichtik use and a non-shchichtik use, a common use and a non-common use, we go basar the common use. The common use is kaveh, whether it's l'chumra, whether it's l'kula, the common use is kaveh. When you have equal usages, let's say if you have two shchichtik usages of a certain item, we go basar whichever is mochamer, because since they're both common usages, we go after whichever one's mochamer to establish what's the shear, the minimum shear of what's considered substantial enough for one to be chayav for carrying that item on Shabbos. So when we had that gemara, the Gaon pointed out, I think Lazer, you mentioned that when it says that the shchicha, when you have two commonly used items, it clearly doesn't mean two items that are used exactly the same amount. Sorry, two common usages of an item. It doesn't mean that the usages are exactly equal. For sure, one's going to be a little more than the other, but they're both commonly used options of this item, and therefore both could be kaveh. That's what we spoke about back then. So the Rishonim discuss, but then there's another scenario. What if I have something which is commonly used, very commonly used, and something which is much less commonly used, but they're both used often? Meaning, they're both used, both are matzai. Both are used often, just one is extremely common, and one is not so common. So clearly I have one that's much more common than the other. That's not like, they're not on equal playing fields. But, one usage, even the usage which is quote unquote less common, is still a very common usage. So that's where we have machlekes Rabbi Darabanan. When you have a much less common usage, but it's still common, is that considered good enough to establish even the chumra or not? Let's go back to the case of the ropes. The Rabbanan said the main use of rope is handles. Handles for baskets, handles for items. You go based on that main usage. Rabbi says it is used. Every person uses it on occasion to make, used to make shoes not so often, but every couple of years for the children to make shoes, and they use it to measure the child's foot. So even though it's not nearly as common necessarily as the main usage, it's common enough, and I can use it to make a chumrah and say that we go with the smaller share. On that, says the Gemara throughout this parak. Now, this is the third time I'm asking the question. Gemara is not stam asking. Rabbi Yehuda has to always be l'chumra, and Rabbi Yehuda always have to be l'kula by every item, by the measurement. This mahalach, this overall concept, that when something is much was more shchiach, and the other is less shchiach, but it's still a shchiach, that Rabbi Yehuda says we treat that like a shchicha and a shchicha, and we go l'chumra. And Rabbi Yehuda said we do not treat that like a shchicha and a shchicha, and we don't go l'chumra. That is a fundamental machlekes that applies across the board in all cases. It's very geschmack now. So in all these cases, that's what we have to plug back in. That's what the Gemara is asking. Not stam, Rabbi Yehuda automatically asks me machmer over the Rabbanan. The Gemara is asking that in these cases where the Rabbanan are saying, let's say in our case, the Rabbanan is saying the bone china to make a spoon. Rabbi Yehuda is saying large enough to make the lock. The Gemara's question isn't stam that Rabbi Yehuda is coming out with the larger shear and he's more makel. The Gemara's question is deeper. The Gemara's question is that l'chayra, it should be the assumption is the machlekes is boiling back down to this discussion about common and uncommon. And we know Rabbi Yehuda is the one that's machmer that even a minimal usage is enough to be called shchiach, or item that's used less often. As long as a shchiach, it's enough to be called shchiach and to be machmer. Why over here is he not being machmer? Why is it? Are we flipping? And there are banan machmer. That's the question. It's a lumdish machleik. It's not stam a technical machleik. Says the Gemara. Amar Ula Chafi Paisachas. The Gemara anyway answers that the question is not shver. Rabbi Yehuda is being machmer, and when he says about a lock, he means the teeth of the lock, not the lock in its entirety. The lock in its entirety is larger than a spoon, which means Rabbi Yehuda is being makel. We mean the teeth of the lock, which is much smaller than a spoon, and which means Rabbi Yehuda is being machmer on the Rabbanan. Rabbi Yehuda being machmer, not being makel. Okay, Tanabanan. Chafi pesachas tayrin. This aside then related to the teeth of a lock. Chafi pesachas tayrin. Teeth of lock. The teeth that are going to be put into a lock. That are going to be put into the key that you form for the lock. That is. Those are tar, because by themselves they're garnished. They're not a kli. Kavim besachas, once they're fixed to the lock, to mayim, they now become tummy because they're part of a kli, and therefore they have a din of tumma makabal tumma. Shagal, however, if it's attached to a gate, afal bishachim remdels, even once he attaches it to a door, the kavim besmarim, he locks them in with nails, so it's mamish, a full-fledged kli. It's being used as part of a lock and key of a gate, of a door, of a house. Tyrant. It's funny. It's not really so much afopi. It's because tyrant. You know why it's tar? She called mechubel the karka rekak. We had this earlier in the Masechta that the bell. When we discussed the bell on the cow, the bell on the eved, it's mekabel tumah. But the bell on the door is not mekabel tumah. Same idea. Why? Because since it's connected to the karka, to the house, and the house connected to the ground, mechubel the karka is not mekabel tumah. Interesting to point out that we mentioned the shir in the morning yesterday also, but we mentioned again in the night, and someone had a little isafa that in the end of yesterday's daf we were discussing the shirim of different items again of being chayav carrying on Shabbos. So one of the shirim discussed in the Mishnah was coarse sand. Coarse sand is used to fill in with plaster. So the Gemara discussed over there that what the shear is, the shear that you put into a trowel of plaster. But the Gemara discusses that this should be telling the machlekes whether or not you're allowed to even use sand in plaster after churban bayis. Because after churban bayis, someone did asar, you can't make such nice plaster in the houses because zechel churban. And others wanted to say no, because it becomes dark when you use sand, it makes the plaster dark, so it's not so nice. And therefore, it's okay that the strength is its chasarin, and therefore it's not a problem using it. So fine, that was the Gemara. So he spoke out from the Chishik Shlema, and from the Rabbi Tosfos Rush, obviously Tosfos Rush was prior. They both asked the same question, that if we're discussing after Churban Abayis, why are we busy with Shurim? If we're having a conversation about how much sand to use, and the Mishnah, we know the Mishnah was around the time of Churban Abayis, so if the Mishnah started before Churban Abayis and continued into after Churban Abayis, so if the Mishnah of talking about coarse sand is talking about already after Churban Abayis, why are we busy with Shurim? The Halacha is also to carry on Shabbos even a Mashu. The relevance of the Shir is to be Chayav a carbon. You need a shear to be chayav carbon, but if they have to churban abayis, there were no more carbonas. So why are we busy with shiurim as zayfek teishik shleim as zayfek teishik rush? The answer they give is, and again, very similar to the tour who writes in Shimon. We mentioned this again 4 or 5 blad ago and yesterday. The tour writes at the beginning of Simon Shinalf, I'm not going to give you the list of the shiurim for every item for carrying our Shabbos because it's an exhaustive, extensive list, and it's not a geah. It's not a geah because we don't have carbonas. So knowing the shear is required for carbonas, and on the flip side, it's us to carry any amount, and therefore I'm not going to give you the shear. form. And the so the Tais Rush and the Chushuk and the Keshik Shlema are essentially asking that question on which is the Torah's idea on the Mishnah from yesterday on the din of coarse sand, and they answer Meheri Ben Amis Migdash, the idea that I think someone in the Shir actually put forth when we mentioned Daf Ayin Zayin or Ayin Ches that Meheri Ben Amis Migdash, you need to know someone had mentioned lazy mentioned after the Shir the more we had earlier in this Masechta that one of the Tanaim says I tipped the Nair and therefore when the base missions were built I'm going to have to bring a carbon. That's the same idea of Meheri Ben Amis Migdash, the base mission should be rebuilt speedily in our days, hopefully be rebuilt tomorrow, and therefore we need to know what the Shir is, and therefore, which is really a question back on the tour. Therefore the Tais Rush and the Chesh Shlema's answer that Meir Ben Amis Migdash is a question of the tour. If we go with that type of attitude, then the chayra it should be listed in the halachas. Okay, cheshik shleim the chashuchi chemed. We pointed out asked on the Torah, and he asked over here too on the Tosis Rush and on the cheshik shleim. He asked that it makes yush afkamina, makes an afkamina if one chalil has to mechal Shabbos in order to for pikuach nefesh purposes to help save someone, and assuming there's enough time to deal with. To be able to do pachas mekashir, so it's very important to know what the shear is to be able to do pachas mekashir less than a shear and not be mechal Shabbos for no reason. So it's very important to know what the shear is. A question on the whole on the tour's idea and on the question of Tais Rush and the Cheshik Shlema in the first place. It's very relevant to know for pachas mekashir purposes. Okay, that's all. That was all really chazar of the ideas we had yesterday and a couple of days ago. So when I was saying it last night by the shear, so in the night daf, so someone pointed out this always bothered them the same idea of tumah. That we're so busy throughout Shas, we spend so much time with Dine Tuma and what makes someone Tame. We're all Tame. We're Tame anyway until we have the Paradum. We're all going to be Tame regardless. Why are we so busy with Tame? This could be various answers. But one answer could be, like I say, Meheri Bani Bais Mikdash. And Bais Mikdash should be speedily rebuilt in our days. And therefore, we have to know legabe tuma. So same type of discussion from Meheri Bani Bais Mikdash. But I saw that they point out over here in our Gemara, two things. First of all, we're saying that this lock, once it's affixed to the door, it's considered mechubel karka. That is not just relevant for Meheri Bani Bais Mikdash. It's relevant today. It's relevant alach lamaisa all the time. How so? The halacha is that ksamim, the gabi tuma, ksamim, anisha, if she sees dam, and there's a stain, so if there's nothing to attribute it to, we have to worry about tuma. If you contribute it to something, then it's not tame. If it's not something which is colorful, then it's not tame. But if it's not something white, and it's not, and you can't attribute it to anything else, we have a concern of, or it's, the size is too big, then we have to have concerns of tuma. What if you find a stain, very, very practical case, on a white, very common toilet, on a white toilet bowl. So it's stain on white, it's kesem, it should be your major issue. Halacha is, ksamim only tame, on a dover with mekabel tuma. Some which is mekabel tuma, you have a din of ksamim. So a kli, when a clothing, a mekabel tuma, there's a din of ksamim. But a toilet bowl, for example, is attached to the house, which is attached to the ground, which is mechubel lekarka, which is not stepped over tuma. That's a very practical enough kamina, this halacha of some which is mechubel lekarka, would not have a din of susceptibility, would have a din of susceptibility of tuma. So it's interesting, this fellow last night was asking about various din of tuma, and lechur, not negi alach lemaisa, because of tuma. Anyway, here's a case where we're discussing some which is mechubel lekarka, and mekabel tuma plays a big role, day to day, alach lemaisa, in hilchus ksamim. It plays a very practical role. One other point on this topic, very brief, is Rav Yosef Engel points out that the din of somebody mechubel karka, our Gemara says that this lock is mechubel karka, and therefore it's not susceptible for tuma, right? Tyron, because mechubel karka. The fact that it's mechubel karka by being a lock has many other ramifications. Legabe mechubel karka has ramifications. Legabe shvuas, you don't make a shvuah on something which is mechubel karka. It makes maybe like the gilgal, but thames you don't make shvuah on a mechubel karka. As afkinis legabe eilas, as afkinis legabe mikvah, something which is mechubel karka would not be considered a problem of when you're flowing water from the mikvah, it could flow through anything which is mechubel karka. There's various different, has to be in a certain type of shape. But the point is, there's various other nafkaminas of mechubel karka. Al Gemara happens to be pointing at one that this lock when it's attached to the door, it's not something tuma. Maybe that's the most popular common one. But the Reis Vengel means a list, and there's so many other afkinas as well. By the fact that something's mechubel karka or not, it makes a big differences in other facets of halacha as well. Okay, zechuchas. We said the mishnah zechuchas. Zechuchas. We said the mishnah glass enough to scrape the head of the weaver's pick. Tana zechuchas legabe glass. Kedei leftzoyah by shnei nimin kachas, enough to cut off two of the threads at once. That's a big enough piece of glass. Rashi just points out, if you notice that the gears that we have in the mishnah of zechuchas with the zayin, and the gemara it's zechuchas with the samach, and both are true. Zechuchas with the Zion is simply pure, zach, pure, and schuchis with the samach means to see, you can see through it, you can see through it, and both characteristics are true of glass. That's hence the two different ways of spelling the name. Sorry, Evan, we said a stone or a pebble in the Mishnah, okay, Luzik Baif, enough to throw out a bird. Rabbi Lazar says enough to throw out an animal. Amar Rabbi Yaakov, Amar Rabbi Yechon, Amvusha, Margeshesba. When you talk about throwing at the bird or throwing at the animal, that a stone that's large enough to hold the animal is chayav on Shabbos for carrying, it means that the stone is not just big enough to shock the animal, right? Just like a noise. Rather, it's got to be enough that the animal feels it. The animal reacts to the impact of it, not just the surprise of it. The kambashiri, how big is that shear? Tanya blazmi Yaakov Emer mishkas arzuz. That shear of a stone that we talk about for an animal is the weight of ten zuz. That is how big the stone has to be according to Blazer to be chayav for carrying on Shabbos. Zaynin al bei medrash. Story time. Zaynin came into the bei medrash. Amrlu Rabbi said. He said to the Chachamim, Amalu Rabbi say, he said, my Chachamim, Avanim shall besakise, Shir Mekama, the stones that are used for wiping oneself, when he relieves himself, these two stones, what's the Shirim that one's allowed? What does it mean, Shir Mekama? So Rashi means two pshat, what Shir Mekama means. If you jump into Rashi, the word Divir Masal Bekama, Rashi says, the Shaila was, L'schayev Aleim, Arsugya, the Gabi carrying on Shabbos. So the Shaila was, what's the Shir the Gabi carrying on Shabbos that's considered Chashav? Inami, the Talta B'chatzer, L'chis Mesakise. No, we're talking about Nechatzer, to bring in the base kisa. We're not worried about carrying, because we're talking about in a place where you're allowed to carry. Or at least, let's assume the Chatzer has Erev, or at least, certainly that is Teresa. We'll get to that shortly. V'aydi v'aydi chatshiru. Rashi says, either way, whichever pshat you go, it's not a sira, because it's both the same shear. The shear that's considered not mukta, because it's normal to use. And the question was, what's normal to use of stones, and therefore it's mukta to carry in the Chatzer, and not a problem of mukta? Or the shear of if one carries, which is a rabbim. He's chayef v'aytzah, because again, that's the normal usage of stones. That same, those two shirim are the exact same shear. Those two shalos are the same shear. What is the normal usage in a beis hakiseh, which would render one chayav on Shabbos for carrying, and which would also be make a mutter to take away the isra of muksa? What is that shear? Amar Leih said to him, kizayis ke'egos kebeitza. Three stones. The derech was used three stones. One was the size of a kizayis. The second was the size of a kebeitza of ke'egos, and the third is the size of a. Of a kibetza. Rashi explains that the stones were actually used in the order of and progressively larger in the order of the sizes. First zayas to open up, drop a clip, drop. Then the egos, and then the kibetza. Now the Yad David is just bavard. It's very very simply that we just said a moment ago the shear of stones is the shear of throwing a stone at a bird or at an animal. And here we're talking about the shear of a stone is the shear legabe carrying, very clearly. Zaynu was asking, is the shear legabe, how much one needs the size of the stone to wipe oneself? The chariot, that's two totally different shearim, answers the Yad David, very simple. The stones that were used for wiping oneself were usually sharp-edged stones. They were sharp, they weren't bumpy. They were much more sharp-edged. That's the stone that we used to wipe someone. That would not be a stone that would be thrown at an animal and a bird. You're not trying to kill the animal, kill the bird. You're just trying to get away from you to startle it and to move it so that it should go away from you. You're not trying to kill it. And therefore, it was a different type of stone. So sharp-edged stones that are used for wiping oneself, that's the shear we're talking about now, as opposed to just general stones that we were talking about before, like I'd be throwing at a bird or at an animal. Okay, so Amalu, he said to the Chamim, is he going to come with like a measuring stick to the washroom? You tell him he's got to be exactly the size of a nut, of a egois, of a zayas, and a veitza. Nimnu v'garma maliyad. Lamaisa, after the conversation with them in the Bismedish, they said the shear is maliyad. It measures a handful. When he puts the stones in his hands, it's taka, not exactly fixed. These exact sizes of egois, of beitza, of zayas. Rather, he's allowed to take as many stones as he can fit into one hand. That is the shear. The shear is malayad. Interesting sounds from the Lashon Gemara. Malayad. Malayad means one hand. Malayad. And then first we actually say, malayad usually means the weaker hand. Malayad is the left hand. I'm not sure if the left hand holds less than the right hand. It's not so heavy. But okay, malayad. The Torah, when he quotes it, brings yadav. Halach l'maisa means a person allowed to bring in stones malayadav. And I think it's the Bachwias on the tour. Our Gemara says malayad. Why say malayadav? And indeed, the Prima Gadim Saka says, read the Torah. That doesn't mean yadav plural. It means one hand. A person allowed to take one handful of stones into the latrine, into the washroom with him to wipe himself. That was the Gemara again. Bizman is Baruch Hashem. We've been blessed with the different materials that we use. We no longer use stones for many years, but the shear is mole hayad, which is not makbet exactly on the small stone of kazayas, a kabetz, and egos, rather a handful of stone. That's what one's allowed to take into the washroom. Tanya basically aimer kazayas, egos, kabetz. Rabbi said three stones, again, like the first side of the Gemara before, olive, nut, and egg, those sizes. Rabbi Shimon Rabbi said the name of his father. Who's his father? Rabbi. So we have apparently a machlekes in Rabbi. Rabbi Shimon Rabbi said the name of his father, Malayad. It could be that a stone size of a kazayas, the size of a egois, and the size of a beitza, those three stones are also equivalent to molayad. It could be sanastira, right? Meaning the ikar din is, that was the main shear, but we're not going to make a person be busy measuring up with a measuring tape exactly the size of the stones. So the faster way to estimate is stones that fit into his hand, that's the right shear. Could be tainuach. Overall, it's the same general shear, perhaps, because we have both of them in the name of Yasi. Tanaban.
Because we don't use them
anymore. 100%. I would think so. 100%. Yeah. Tana Rabbanan, right?
And again, just to go over the Chatzi Shia aspect. So on the side of this.
Tana Rabbanan, B'shalish Avana Markuz Mikruzales, Mutalach the Basic Isay, one's allowed to bring the three sharp stones. Again, I can point out from the Adavit before to answer the other question. That sharp stones were used for the washroom. So three sharp stones, one's allowed to bring into the washroom. The Kabashir Mayor Mekagish Mayor says, like the size of a nut. Ridam Kabashir says, the size of an egg. Those are the stones. It's interesting over here. They seem to be saying that across the board, all three stones are the size of a nut or an egg, not like any of the sheets we had earlier. Amar from Amar Bar Papa, Amar Chizda, Kemachalikis Kankachalikis Esrig. Just like the Machalikis have over here, Rav Meir saying the shear of the stones is like a nut, and Rav Yehuda saying the shear of the stones is like an egg, so too the Machalikis is going to be the shear the size of an esrig, says Gemara. The din of an esrig is a Perisha Mishnah. This din is a brisa where we're quoting the size of the stones. You're being Taila. The din of a Mishnah in a brisa about stones from basic Isay, Hasma Sisan, Hacha brisa. Over there, it's not so much the topic, one's basic Isay, one's esrig, it doesn't bother us. It's the one's a Mishnah, one's a brisa. You're being Taila the Mishnah and the brisa. Says Gemara, Hasma Sisan, Hacha brisa. Ellie, you're right, flip it. Say it better. Say it like the Machlekes that we know of by established by Esrig in the Mishnah, where Meir says Egges and Rehuda says Kabetza, so too that same Machlekes over here, Legabe, these stones for the washroom. Amar Rehuda, Avaleis a pious. One cannot take a pious. Pious stone cannot be brought to the washroom. Why not? My pious, Amar Bezera, Karshine Bavalasa. It's pebbles of the earth of Bavel. It's basically pebbles that are formed from clumps of earth. The second you start using it, it disintegrates in your hand, it falls apart, and therefore can't be used to wipe, and therefore it's a waste. You're using it stamukta, it's not useful. And the first point out, Lav Dafka, the pebbles of earth of Bavel. That's just an example of it. Anytime you have a crumbly stone, a crumbly rock, that can be used because it's not going to be useful and stam going to be mukta. Amarava. Also, Shamish.
There was something special about the dirt of
Bubble.
We had several
bars
ago.
Right. We had it over here in Shabbos?
Yeah, something about that. It was new.
Amar Rava Asul Mishamish Bitsur B'Shabbos. It's Asur to use a tsurar. This is the Rashi explained what this means is to use a tsurar in order to if a person's, let's say, constipated, so there's some sort of constriction and not letting his and not letting the excrement leave his body. He uses a tsurar, manipulate the area over there to cause him to be able to relieve himself. Kadesh of Shabbos B'chol. And Rava's saying it's Asur to do it on Shabbos the way you do it every week, and I'll do it on Shabbos. Masko Mizutra Listakin to let himself be Bisakana as a person. Not letting himself relieve himself is dangerous. It could lead to, we spoke about, it could lead to the, to hadrukken, which is, it touches dropsy, could lead to a dangerous illness. Says Gemara Klachar Yad. Rava didn't mean you can't do it at all. Rava meant you can't do it, which is really his words. You see beautifully, if you read the words again, Kederach Shem Shabbos Bechal. You can't do it on Shabbos the way you do it Bechal. Meaning what? Rather, do it with Klachar Yad, do it with the Shinai, and that's going to be permissible. Aram Bani, Meshbach and Gavul, basic Kisei, if it's established based for basic Kisei, Malayad, one's allowed to carry a handful of stones. Imlav, Bechreya, but if it's not an established base of basic Kisei, then he has to bring Bechreya, which means, so it's clearly not what I was saying before, you have to bring the exact measurements we said before, the egois, the olive, and the beitza. I was saying before, I wanted to suggest that perhaps they're the same size. You see, I'm mistaken, because clearly Gemara is saying a chilek. If he has a basic Kisei that's established, that, and the reason why the Milo that is because he's going there once a Shabbos, very likely he'll go there again on the same Shabbos. And therefore he can bring a handful because it'll get used on that Shabbos. Whereas, if you're going stomp to basic Kisei and he's using a new place that's not an established basic Kisei, he can only take with him the nut, the olive and the beitza size stones. Madur Kitan Shabazamim, if one is a stone that was used as the pestle to smash, like a small pestle that's used to smash spices, right? A big pestle would be too big, obviously, but a small pestle which used to make spices, he wants to now use that pestle for the Beis HaKisei. Amar Vesheshes Imeshla Eid Mutter, only could be used, really it's mukta. It only could be used if it's already been used before. Eishla Eid means it's already been used before for the washroom, for wiping oneself, then it can be used again. But otherwise, it's mukzah because it's used for as a pestle, and therefore it's mukzah to be used for the Beis HaKisei. Frek the Mefarshim, what on earth? Every stone is mukzah. And the fact that the reason why they're not mukzah is because Atzkavra Prius, because maybe Atzkavra Prius, stones that are sharp that could be used for Beis HaKisei are automatically assumed to be able to be used for Beis HaKisei, and we take off the mukzah Atzkavra Prius. So this pestle too, the fact that it's The fact that it was designated as a pestle makes a muktzah. Muktzah is not a problem when it comes to kavod arbiyos for relieving oneself, for wiping oneself. We're going to see shortly in our base that the reason why these things are relaxed because they are durabanans. The Gemara is going to seemingly say even by the raisas, but kavod arbiyos certainly lets us relax durabanans. So muktzah, which is durabanan, is not a concern. So what on earth is the Gemara saying over here that the maducha, the pestle, can only be used if it's been used already? It could be used l'chayre, even if it wasn't used already. What's the issue? Muktzah? It's not muktzah anyway. Furthermore, they strengthen the question. We know the halacha is a klisha malachta l'iser, like a pestle which is used for smashing, which is one of the malachas, of course, on Shabbos. Grinding is a malacha. So the kli, it's a klisha malach l'iser. Halacha is a klisha malach l'iser, is mutter l'tzarech gufay, to use it itself. To use it itself, you want to use the hammer as a nutcracker. So that's Mitzarech Gufay. We have a Teirim. So even if, forget about the fact that the pestle was Muktzah and all Muktzah stones are Mutter anyway. On top of that, even if one of these stones are Mesakisei, a Klisha Malach Le'Lisser is Mutter Mitzarech Gufay, should be Mutter anyway. Two bomb questions on this conversation. Answers Merkiva Eger. He says, B'Kiddush. I mean, I shouldn't say it's not a huge Kiddush, but we know there's a concept of Muktzah Machasar and Kiss. Something which is muktzah machzor kis. It doesn't mean that something is so valuable. Something which is designated for a specific usage, a kli, designated for specific usage, can have a din of muktzah machzor kis. This pestle, because it was designated to crush spices, he's certainly not going to use it to wipe oneself and then use it for spices, obviously. So since it's designated for spices, therefore we're saying it would be a problem of muktzah as muktzah machzor kis, and that muktzah was not relaxed, legabe, using a stone to wipe oneself. Only stomachs of stones. Muktzah Sarkis wasn't relaxed, and therefore we have to come out to the fact that if it once was used already, then already it's no longer going to be used as a pestle. It's already Simana Mukhichalav, it's been used ready to wipe oneself, and therefore it could be used again. Frek the Gemara, is it safe to wipe oneself with a kli, with a stone that's already been used for wiping? Meis Fayas the Gemara, we have this Gemara elsewhere, Sardvarm V and Adam Lide Tachtonius. 10 things bring a person to hemorrhoids, Veluhain. These are the ten items that can bring a person to hemorrhoids. So you should avoid these things. Eating the leaves of reeds. The leaves of a grapevine. Lulvegafanim, the shoots of a grapevine. Marigibema blemelach, the portions of the meat that's like indented without salting it first, without adding salt to it. Shidda shadug, the backbone of a fish. Dug malech shalabishakh, or a salt of fish that wasn't fully cooked. Hashaisa shemayin, one who drinks sediment of wine. Vamekanech besid vicharasas, one who wipes himself with lime or with a piece of pottery, a piece of cheres. Here's the one that we need. I mean, all these dinim obviously we need, but here's the one that we need for our gemara. But makanech, but sir, shakinech bechaveri. One who wipes with his pebble, with a stone that his friend used. Using a used stone it can lead to tachtonis, cleat to hemorrhoids. V'yesh erim, some add af atayla atzma beskisei. One who hangs himself in beskisei. Seems like he crouches, like he squats, he crouches. He doesn't sit properly in beskisei. That also can lead to hemorrhoids. Okay, but the Bryce says clearly that a person should not use a stone that's already been used. And here we're saying that only if it's been used are you not allowed to use on Shabbos, because it's demonstrates that's no longer muktzah machzor and kis, let's say, but you're not allowed to use a stone that's been used anyway. So the Gemara gives three simple answers. Like Asha Habalach Habiv Avish. Maybe the issue of lean to tachtonius is when it's still moist from the first person's usage. But when it's fully dried, not concerned about the fact that it was once used for this. Answer number one. Answer number two. When it's fully dirty, it can't be used. But if it's dirty on one side, you can still use the other side. Or you could say he won't get the illness from using his own same stone on himself twice. It means one should not use the stone. And that's Lashon, that was Meduyik. And we quoted in the 10 things, it says a stone that his friend has used. Right? Is a problem. But a stone that he himself used is not a problem. Okay, three answers why the pestle could have been used and still be okay, either because it's dry, or again, because it's, or because it wasn't fully dirty on both sides, or because he's using the same stone that he used himself. Again, this is, Al-Khaira, Baruch Hashem, for us. We have, new means of cleansing ourselves, and this, for the most part, shouldn't be, hopefully, never mean to get us. Amalei Abayler, Rabbi Yosef, Yerdu Alea, Geshamim. What if it rained on this stone that was already used, this pestle? Vinasashu. And now, all of a sudden, like, the traces that were on it have become, like, a little bit rubbed out. Mahu. Does it now become usher again? Because it lost the status of being a stone that's used for wiping, because the traces are not so clear anymore. Or no, lemais is still considered something which is designated for wiping. Amalei, if I reshum nikar, as long as there's some marks in it, even though it's not the same way it used to be, mutter to mutter, because the idea is, as long as there's some marks in it, Rashi says, no one's going to use it to crush the spices. If it's fully clean, maybe it'll be used again. But as long as there's some marks and no one's using for the spices, and therefore it's still permissible to use on Shabbos, not an issue of muktzah. Boy, mini Rabbi Shila Merav, top. Merav, top of Pei Alef on the base, Merav Chizda. Rashi explains, look at the top Rashi. Michashin l'tircha yisei relay. Let's say he wants to go relieve himself on the roof. It's a private area. Could he shut these stones up to the roof? Is it a tircha yisei or not? Amar Lei, God the Kabbalah Briyas, this is why I was telling you to hold your horses like before. God the Kabbalah Briyas, Shay Deicha, Aslai Shabbatayra. Kabbalah Briyas is great, Deicha, Aslai Shabbatayra. And therefore, Tirchi Yaseira, not a problem. If he feels more comfortable, he'll leave himself on the roof. He certainly carry the stones up to the top of the roof. Okay, that's the Gemara. Now, the Gemara's Lashon is, Deicha, Aslai Shabbatayra. Very shver. We know, Allah is, let's say, by famous Gemara by Shatnez. If one is clearly wearing Shatnez in the street and he becomes aware of it, what's Allah? The Allah is that, if it's shatnez on a derice level, take it off in the street. If it's drabbanan, then he can leave it on. It's covered abrius. But derices, it's not deicha. The lashon of the gemara is clearly got the covered abrius. Should deicha leisa shabateira? We know that lemaisa we don't pass the way. Not deicha leisa shabateira. It's deicha only drabbanans, not derices. What does this line mean? So Rashi, in explaining this line, opens up another question. Rashi says, look at the second Rashi of the page. Tichsiv v'salam t'mehem. Pralazak v'nefi chayde. Let's say you find something which is embarrassing on the street, or it's beneath the covered. The zakin does not. We dash the pasuk. Even the pasuk says you shouldn't see it and turn away from it. That's really the words of the pasuk. Don't see it v'salamta and turn away. We just we put the commas in a separate place and we say sometimes you could see it a zaken. Well, sometimes a person could see something v'salamta and turn away and not return it. And we dash. What does that mean? A zaken in the v'chvaydei is allowed to turn away. Okay, so that's the drasha of how you set the commas in the pasuk. But okay. But the point is, we make a drasha that there is a case where you could turn away zaken in the v'chvaydei. Says Rashi further. Hachanami tilta drabanan. The din of Issa Tiltum is Midrabanan. However, the same Mechon Lei Sasa Daraisa. And therefore, the din of Lei Sasa's Nitchem Mechon Abrias allows us to be Deicha, the Asurim, and therefore you're allowed to do the Mikzah and take it up the roof and not be worried because of Kavod Abrias. So Rashi's also Shver, because the Gemara specifically says, Rashi quotes what's the source of Kavod Abrias is Deicha Lei Sasa Shabtaira. And therefore, in our case, it could be Deicha Lei Sasa as well. The source is Vesalamta. The Gemara specifically says, let's learn from Vesalamta. And to other cases, and the Mara says you cannot learn. Maybe Dafko over there, the pasuk says by Shavas Aved, Islamta, Dafko over there, when you have the pasuk. In that case, there's this special leniency that covered our basis, Deicha, the Israel, let's say, of turning away from an Aveda. But elsewhere, we don't have the pasuk of Islamta, maybe we don't say that. That's the Mara in Brachas specifically makes that deflection. Rashi over here is using Islamta as a source, as Rashi a few places uses as a source to say that we could have covered our basis. So before Rashi adds his little kesh at the end, we would answer both questions very simple. Both questions have a very simple answer. Meaning, well, the first question is, we're saying that, as a general rule, that the Leisa says are not, of Shabbat Torah, are not Nitcha for Kavod Abrius, and our Gemara seems to indicate that it is. And secondly, we're quoting a Pasuk of Salamta, which purposely, the Gemara, which we say, the Gemara specifically in Brachos says, do not learn from there. So the answer to both questions could be one and the same. The answer is Enachanami. We don't mean that we're learning on a Deraisa level that the Leisa says are Deicha, are Nitcha from Kavod Abrius. The only time you find that, as a general rule, is Vesalamta. What we mean is, since we see the concept exists, that the Torah is Matcha Leisa say, we are by Vesalamta by Aveda. The Torah is Matcha Leisa say, Alts Kavod Abrius. We can extrapolate from there and say, by Derabanans, we're Deicha Derabanans. Leisa says of Derabanans could be Deicha Kavod Abrius. A beautiful, simple pshat that I think would answer the simple reading of the Gemara. Not answer, I mean, that's how you have to read the Gemara all over Shas. It comes up in Shabbos, a few places, this idea of this Gemara, and that's how we could shtim it with the Pasuk of Islamta. And it can even be Rashi. Rashi quotes Islamta in all these places, even though Islamta is unique to Islamta, Rashi quotes it because that's the source of the concept. The Torah is telling us that Kavod Abrius is very important. The Torah chooses to be matcha by Hashavas Aveda. Dafka there, we could extrapolate and say elsewhere, no, it's the Raisas, but it's the Rabbanans, yes. The only issue I have with that is, that's still fair, is that Rashi then goes on to quote that even though the Rabbanans are Shabbos, Alei Sasser, still it could be Deicha because you have this concept. I would think it would have been more simple if Rashi would have left it, the way we're saying, left it and said that since we find by the Raisa in one scenario, Kavod Abrius is Nitcha, is Deicha Leisa saying, therefore, by Rabbanans across the board, Kavod Abrius is Deicha Leisa saying, and leave it at that. By going back and remaking this, the case of Kavod Abrius by Shabbos, by Rabbanans, making the Rabbanans of the Raisa, Leis Sasser, which is always a famous conversation, every Rabbanan should be Deraisa, we don't say that, but by going back and Rashi, if you're making it a deraisa, you really bring back the question that we don't extend this to other deraisas. And Rashi seems to be extending to other deraisas a little bit shver. Why Rashi is doing that? Obviously, there's a point. Rashi seems to maybe be having a more encompassing idea of the din of Kavod Abrius being deicha. Deicha more than what we seem to, the other Rishayim and the other Gemaras seem to indicate at face value. Okay.
What again?
Sorry? That's the general, the idea of Leis Sasser is not to to turn away from the words of the Chachamim, and that's the idea we spoke about, that really every Darabanan becomes Daraisa on the power of Leisasser. So we spoke about in the past, famous idea, that even though every Darabanan should be Daraisa, we treat Safi Darabanan as different than Safi Daraisas, and we treat Darabanan generally different than Daraisas, because Darabanan themselves built into the Darabanans that don't give it the status of a Daraisa every Darabanan, even though they have a Leisasser, which they could base it on. But we don't do that. Avir Rashi is connecting it to Daraisa, which is seemingly for our purposes, for in our shtickle, seems to make a question. Okay, so Tamar Vaiter. Zakti Gemara Vaiter Yosef Yosef Mar Maramer. Sorry, Yosef Maramer. The Karmelo Lashmaiter Maramer was sitting and saying over this Maramer. Esve Ravina Maramer. Ravina said to Maramer, Rav Lezer Aimer, Neitel Adam Kisa Mishal Funav Lachta Bashinav. A person allowed to take the like a splinter, like a wood chip, to like a toothpick to clean his teeth from only what's in front of him. The Chamarim Leitel Elam Be'Eves Shabehema. So Rav Lezer says he's allowed to take from, sorry, Rav Lezer being more makel, he says he's allowed to take from any wood chips that are around him, pick it up and use it, no problem. The Chum say, no, it has to have been mukhan, it has to be part of the avis, an animal, only if it's an avis, the animal could use it, otherwise not mukhan, he can't use it. L'chayra, the idea of cleaning one's teeth from dirt junk is covered abrius, and you see the Chum makvid not to use it unless it was prepared. Hachyashta, Samara says, how could you compare? Hasam adu kaveh makam suda. Hacha adu kaveh makam besa. He's saying there's an element of responsibility. A person knows when he's making a suda, he knows when he's eating a meal, and therefore he can prepare the place where he's eating a meal to have toothpicks there before Shabbos. He doesn't have to be busy coming out to relying on kavod abrius to akula to make himself be able to pick his teeth in order to kavod abrius to touch something which is muktzah. Whereas by relieving himself, a person doesn't always have a fixed place or a set time that he knows he's going to have to relieve himself. It chances upon him and he has to go wherever, and there may not be proper facilities or proper items there to clean himself, and therefore you cannot compare the case of Beis HaKisei to the case of Suda. Amar Rav Huna, Aser Lifnais Beseir Nir Shabbos. Once on the topic of relieving oneself and Shabbos, so he says, it's Aser for one to relieve himself in a freshly plowed, stay near is a field that was just plowed over on Shabbos. A freshly plowed field on Shabbos, one cannot relieve himself in that field. My Taima, Ilei Mishim Davish, the Mar is going to give a few options what the issue is. If the problem is because he's it's also because he's messing up these freshly plowed furrow, afil b'chonami, that should be an issue even during the week. Why is Dafkan Shabbos? L'chor, that issue should be during the week because you're damaging your friend's freshly plowed field. That's a problem. That's a problem no matter when it is. Why is that Dafkan Shabbos? Says the Gemara, Ella, Mishabasava, maybe the issue is because the grasses that grow on the stones on the field, that he's going to wipe himself and detach the grasses from the stone. Maybe that's the issue. The issue is if he's using these grasses that are on the stones, or stones that may have grasses in the field, he's going to end up detaching the grass that grow on the stones, which is a problem of Talish. Rish Lakish says that a tzror that has grass on it, it's mutter to wipe oneself on it, even though the grass may become detached. One who pulls off the grass is chayv chatas. What does that mean? Very simple. If you purposely pull off the grass from the stone, you chayv a person's chayv chatas because that's Talish. But if a person wipes himself, since it's not miskaven, it's not what his intent is, so Rish Lakish is going like Rav Shimon, it's not Rishim miskaven, and obviously it's still my case, it's not psik resha. Wiping oneself with the stone that's grass in it is not guaranteed to take off the grass, and therefore it's not psik resha, therefore it's mutter. So that can't be the issue either. The issue can't be pulling off the stone either. Ella Dilma Nakat Melai Vishadotatai. The issue is that maybe he's going to take from a higher up place and bring down to a lower place. The issue is taking from a higher up place, to lower place, which is what? Umachayev Mishum Rabba, which is a problem like Rabba says, Dam Rabba, Haisla Guma Tata, Vitamama. If there's a hole in the ground, then he fills the hole, so it depends on the location. The reason why you shouldn't do it, and this attacker relates Tafka to Shabbos, the reason why you shouldn't relieve himself in an openly plowed field on Shabbos, the field was just freshly plowed, that means the person wants the field to be even and plowed and ready to accept seeds. If he goes and relieves himself and takes a stone from a place that's a little higher, higher means a bumpier ground, and he puts it in a place that's a little lower, more of a ditch, so he's evening the ground. That's a problem of chayrish. In the house, Rabbi says, that's a problem of baina. Flattening the floor of a house is baina. Flattening the earth in a field is considered chayrish, and therefore it's a separate concern. That's the concern why he shouldn't relieve himself in a freshly plowed field where it's more of an idea of chayrish. I guess in another scenario, where it wasn't a freshly plowed field, taking from one spot to another spot, higher, even from a place, even though you may theoretically be making something, you drop more level, not such a concern because it's not as freshly plowed, not as open to have these higher and lower levels, and more specifically, we're not talking about a case where you're so makbin on leveling the ground if it's not as we are by a freshly plowed field where it's more of a clear concern. Gufa. Amr Shlakish Tsar Shalabai Savim.
Fertilizer
Interesting. Yeah. Interesting point. Interesting point. The guy's relieving himself is like a fertilizer. Yeah, good point. Goof, Amr Shlakish. Sorry.
Fertilizer would only be seed, wouldn't be the dirt.
Yeah, just
some, just fertilizer. A stone that has grass that grew on it, mutl kanech by one's able to wipe himself. He's able to wipe himself on Shabbos because Dov Shem is Gavin, but if he purposely pulls off the grass from the stone, that's a chiv chatas because that is Talish. Amr Vapish Mamina, Midre Shlakish, Hyper Pisa, Shalatatuli. We learn from this Mishlakish that a flower pot, which Rashi explains, talking about a flower pot that has perforated atzus nakav shazari bite, a perforated flower pot, atzus nakav, famous case in Shas, a flower pot that has holes in it, which we say does get some nourishment from the ground, it's mutter to move. Why? Because the chayra, this stone, which has grass growing on it, is like a plant, has grass growing on it, and you're pulling it out of the ground to wipe oneself, so they're detaching it from the ground, and it's okay. So it's like a flower pot with holes, you let it move around. That is his comparison. Maskar of Kanav kind of says, how could you compare? The moving of a stone was needed, again, we said Kavra Brias, we said certainly there are abundance, could be Dekha Darises potentially, the idea of Kavra Brias. So over there, it's needed. Moving a flower pot is not necessary, and therefore make a taste to move it when there's no need. Amar Abaye Parpisa, Hovas Adon, since we're talking about this topic of this flower pot, Limba Milson, let me say something about the flower pot. Haimunach Gabakaka was resting on the ground, and Nichol Gabisaydas, and he lifted it up to put it on top of pegs. Mechayev Shem Talish, that is a form of Talish. A flower pot, Atas Nakka with holes in it, is considered nourishing from the ground, lifting it up off the ground, and hanging on a peg, even though it's still in the airspace above the ground, and maybe it's still nourishing, it's a form of Talish, taken away from the ground. And by the flip side, if it was on pegs, he took off the pegs to put on the ground, he could be chayav for netea for planting. Unbelievable Rashi, famous Rashi for those that look at the topic of kaparas. Look at the Rashi, hyperpisas. Could I read this Rashi inside? Once you talk about these little flower pots of plantings, Rashi brings over here, I'm not sure why it comes over here in Perek Shmini of Shabbos, they fill these little palm baskets full of earth and fertilizer behema, and 22 or 16 days before, 15 days before Rosh Hashanah, basically 3 weeks, 2 or 3 weeks before Rosh Hashanah, they take, for every katan katan the bayis, they would take these flower pots, make them, and put seeds in them. V'zayron l'seichon, pull hametzi, pull hametzi bean, a kidney, some other type of beans, v'karnle, perpisia, v'tzemech, and it starts to sprout. We know beans sprout fairly quickly. People actually have experiments where they take beans in cups in their house and leave it in the sunlight. Okay, so it sprouts quickly. Each person takes his flower pot that he made for his children. He swings it around the head. This should be instead of this child. This is the chalipin, and he throws it into the nar. Unbelievable. This is a clear source. The Ga'inim Magen Avraham brings. This is a clear source for the concept of kaparas. Lemais, the Rashba took a big issue with the concept of kaparas. Rashba says, it's darke amari. Swing a chicken over one's head is darke amari. Shulchan Aruch also seems to be against kaparas. Again, Rama brings that lemais, it's a minig that we do it, but Shulchan Aruch is against the minig of kaparas because it seems to be along the lines of darke amari. What is the idea? But this seems to be from the Ga'inim already. Obviously, Rashi is bringing from the Ga'inim a source of the idea of kaparas even before chickens. What's the idea of seeds? So the explanation is to confuse, the brought down is to confuse the satan. Children, this Rashi clearly is talking about based on the person planted these plants. If he has children, children are called zera. Seeds are called zroyim. In order to confuse the satan, so to speak. So what do? We plant these seeds and we say these seeds should be instead of the children. If there's any kitrig, any gzera on the children, and we throw the seeds in the nar, and we're basically saying the satan could say you destroyed the zera. You had this job to destroy the zera. You destroyed the zroyim. The zroyim are destroyed. Says the Yavitz. That's the idea. I'm the first to bring it before the Yavitz is ready. That's the idea. Why we use chickens for adults. This Rashi and Gaidim only talk about children. What about adults? We use chickens. Why? Because a chicken is called a gever. Christ gever. Gever also is a way of referring to man, to a man. It's called a gever. So you use a chicken for the same idea that it should be a way for this to mix up the sudden, so to speak, and the sudden should take out the wrath on the gever, on the chicken, and not on the person. Based on this, ask the Yavitz. I don't understand why women use female chickens. Men use male chickens because male chickens are called gever. A woman is called a giveret. A female chicken is not called a giveret. The kreis gever refers to chickens in general, is by males. He says, I don't understand why women use female chickens. The logic doesn't follow through. The logic is the terms, the word. The word gever is for man. The word for isha, geveret, doesn't apply by a chicken, a female chicken. Therefore, he leaves it sure why on earth that the women use females. If they're going to do it, use males, gever, instead of a person. Just as, even though, again, not, the geveret is gever. Okay, it's close enough. Why use a female chicken? What is the mila? Azayfek diyav, it's very interesting history on a little bit on the kaparas. Okay.
This is a combination of...
Yes, the element of tashlichah too. I didn't have that. Yes, throwing it to the yam. Very good. Very good. Gufa. Omar Reish Lakish, we just saw that. Sorry. So we just said this, a member from Abaya about the prepare. It's fine. Omar B'Yechanan. Asr l'kanech b'cheres b'Shabbos. It's asr to b'kanech with a piece of earthenware, a pottery shard, on Shabbos. My time of the Mars give a few options. Elam shem sakana, if it's a shor, it's a sakana, because he can cut himself, it's dangerous. Afi b'chol nami, why dafka Shabbos, even during the week. Elam shem k'shaf, because it's a concern that it seems to be someone who does that is susceptible to witchcraft, and we'll see actually a story about that, and that's what we'll end off the daf with. So, if it's an issue of witchcraft, afi b'chol nami, that should be an issue during the week as well. Elam shem ha-shor ha-steem, and elam, the issue is, he may... But the shard is sharp, and it may come to cut hairs over the air, and that's a problem on Shabbos. Dav Shemis Gavenu. That's the Dav Shemis Gavenu. Therefore, shouldn't be a problem. Says Amar Amar Blasim Raisha Gav Rabba Amar Milsa Nima Bataima. This Gav Rabba said, "Remember, Rabbi Yechon said, remember, we can't just leave it. we slugged up the three possible reasons, but we can't leave it unresolved." So let me by Bechol Daaser. Rather, his we have to teach it. Let me by Bechol Daaser. What he meant to say was. Anachami, he didn't mean to say it's usher dafka on Shabbos. He means like this, not only on Shabbos, I'm not going to tell you on Shabbos, usher. I'm sorry, b'chol that's usher. Because of the reasons we said, either because of sakana, or because of kshavim, those reasons apply for sure during the week. Ava b'Shabbos, ha'ava ikka, teres kli alav shaper dami. On Shabbos, since there's a teres kli, maybe you'd say there's a mila to using a shard over a stone because of teres kli, so maybe over there we'd be a little more lenient with these other issues. Kamash malan, these issues of kishav, or of harming oneself apply equally even on Shabbos, and therefore it will not override the benefit that you have that it's less of an item of muktzah than a regular stone and it's usher even on Shabbos. That's the Mar's answer. Essentially, he didn't say davka Shabbos, it's even on Shabbos. That is the first malach. The Mar's ultimately stick with this malach, but that's the first malach to answer Rabbi Yechanan. Rav wanted to say the piece of Rabbi Yechanan is the third reason because you make up to cut out hairs, and that's a problem to have on Shabbos. But the problem is, he ended up with a steer Rabbi Yechanan, like we just said, Shabbos Gavin, and that's Rabbi Yechanan's psak. We remember Rabbi Yechanan, Shabbos, Rabbi Yechanan says us to use a shard on Shabbos. I'm a Dov Shabbos Gavin, because I mean he holds a Dov Shabbos Gavin's usher from Rabbi Yechanan, Alachasam Mishnah. Rabbi Yechanan said, Alachasam Mishnah, which now we learned by Naziris, a Nazir is not cut his hair. And what about brushing his hair? We discussed he can't take out hair in his head. If he's guaranteed to take out hair in his head, it's a problem. However, he can rub his head and he can disentangle the hair. Avalei sirik, not use a comb. A comb is guaranteed to pull out hairs. That's a problem for Nazir. That's psikresha. But anything which is davar shem is kavin, if it's not his intent, even though it may happen, that's okay. That's the stam mishnah by Nazir. Rabbi Yechon passed the stam mishnah, which is Rabbi Yechon holds that davar shem is kavin is going to be permissible. So why over here, by using the shard to wipe oneself, which may cut out hairs on Shabbos, is it a problem? According to Rabbi Yechon, the Chorus Dov Shem is Gav, the Mar says you're right. And the Mechavat Kabras Ma'ashia, the explanation Rav wanted to give that the concern is cutting off ears for Rabbi Yechanan is a steer to Rabbi Yechanan himself, and therefore that can't be Pshat. It must be Pshat Rabbi Yechanan was. The issues were issues of Sakana and the issue of Kishav, and i.e., the question was why Dafka Shabbos? It's talking not Dafka Shabbos. It's even Shabbos. Let me buy Chayil, rather even Shabbos, but you have the Mila, at least it deals with the issue of Muktzah, still a problem because of these concerns. Mike Shafim, what's Shafim? Where do we find a concept of Shafim? Legabe this. The Mar's not going to explain. The Mar's just going to be a story that references this. Kiyad Rav Chizda, Rabbi Rav Chavuna, Havakazib Arba, they were going on a boat, Rav Chizda and Rav Chavuna trying to go on a boat. Amar Lehi, Lehu, Ahi Matanusa, Aisvichu Badayu. So this nobleman said, I want to come with you. Let me come with you. Laispu, they don't want to take her. For whatever reason, they don't want to take her on the boat. So she was angered. Amar Lehi Imilsa, she said some sort of spell. Asar Tala Arba, and the boat couldn't move. She put a spell on the boat, couldn't move. Amru in a milsa, they sent back something to counter the spell, and the boat was released. Frek the Mefarshim, what on earth? These Chachamim are practicing Kishav. So the Mefarshim explained, Rashi says, either there wasn't Mamash Kishav, they used Rashi being Swampshot, they used the Shem Hashem, they used one of the something with the Shem Hashem, not Kishav, but a power that was powerful to overtake the Kishav and Swamsha. Rashi Chulin actually says that when a person puts a spell on a Chacham, on a Yid, and the only way to counteract or save himself is by using a spell over there. It isn't much to use a spell, big cool over there. That is Rashi in Chulin. Not like over here, Rashi says it's more like Shem Hashem, but there's a beautiful pshat that the Menachem Meshev Nefesh brings, B'Shem the Baal Shem Tov. He says that they didn't say they didn't say any spells. They didn't say Shem Hashem. They quoted the pasuk Machshef Leisachaya. Amru B'Milsa means they quoted the pasuk Machshef Leisachaya, and by quoting that pasuk, that caused that her powers, that the spell she put on shouldn't work. They just quoted the pasuk Torah about spells. They have a beautiful diak. If you read the words Amra Ihu, the Amra Inu Milsa, instead of Milsa, they have the girsa Amra Inu Milas. Mem Lam Itzaf. They said Milas. Mem Lam Itzaf is Machshefa Loi Sechaya. Mem Lam Itzaf is beautiful. Machshefa Loi Sechaya. Okay, that's what they said, that under the spell. So three Pshatim, but they weren't doing Mamish. Either, according to the middle Pshat and the Chulin, seems to be they did a spell, but they're allowed to protect themselves, or they used to say Shem Hashem, or they said Machshefa Loi Sechaya. Okay, Amrlu, she said to them, Ma'av Luchu, what can I do to harm you further? I can't. Top of Pei Babes Valve. Lemekaneach Luchu, Bechasba. You don't wipe yourself with shards. Lekatubu Lekina Manechu. You don't kill the lice that's on your clothing. You don't kill it while it's on your clothing. And you don't pull a vegetable from a bundle. Vegetable that's talking about over there is specifically like onions and garlics and green and leeks that the gardener bundles together. You don't pull it out of the bundle and eat it. Rather, you untie it, take one, and then take it and eat it. So if a person would do any of these three things, they would be under my powers, she says, to make a spell. You don't do these things, and therefore I have no power over you, and therefore what can I do? I have to let you guys go. I have no power to stop you. We'll pick it up here, Mitzvah Shem, tomorrow, finish the parak, tomorrow, Mitzvah Shem. By the way, Shavuos is, of course, obviously Thursday night, so the plan is, Bli Neder, to post an extra shiur. Tomorrow's Wednesday, but to post an extra shiur on Thursday, Mitzvah Shem, obviously in the morning, post Friday shiur at some point. That's a very long day, Thursday. Yontov's not till 9 o'clock at night, so maybe we'll post it. Either we'll learn together, or at least we'll post it online. And then Matzah Shabbos, Matzah Yontov, we will learn Shabbos' daf from Mitzvah Shem.